For those of you who like to follow the Bible very carefully, I just give you the references now so we can dispense with them later. We will go through the following passages. John 5:26, John 1:9-13, Matthew 23:9, John 3:6, 10:30, Genesis 1:27, Acts 2:24, John 17:3, 8:51, 14:12, 5:19-20, 3:3, Luke 17:21, John 8:32, and Mark 1:15. And if you've missed any, they'll be available after class for copying down if you wish. Now, it seems like an extensive list, and probably it is, but they are excerpts which complete a continuity of purpose vital to today's message. It being the Christmas season, we thought it would be a good idea to have a little Christmas package that we could unwrap today. And in it, to have possibly the most priceless gift of all. We know that Peter, in response to Jesus, said, "Thou art the Christ." How many of us remember the next words? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And there is a message in the Son of the living God, which contains the Christmas present that we shall unveil. The Son of a living God is what you and I are to realize we are. And to the degree that we do not reach that realization, our experience will show forth the absence of the grace of the living God. So that wherever you find some form of limitation in your life, whether it be physically, mentally, or emotionally, or financially, or socially, these limitations will be the result of not having come into the understanding that I am the Son of the living God, the way shower, said, "I am the truth." And he said many astounding things, one of which was, "Whosoever shall believe in me, even though he be dead, yet shall he live." And that's a very strange statement. Because certainly if a person who is dead shall live because he believes on the Son of the living God, then in order to overcome deadness, everything that would lead to deadness must be overcome. And in the overcoming of deadness, we have automatically overcome every form of sickness known to man. Or by believing on me, the Son of the living God. This has been interpreted to mean that if you believe on Jesus, you overcome death. And we see people every day dying who believe on Jesus. And so we find that the Son of the living God is not Jesus at all. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there is the distinction which each of us must find in his own experience. Now, in our progression through the Bible, we want to see the evolution of an idea that has escaped the attention of mankind, and also the evolution of an idea that has even escaped those of us who have seriously dedicated our time and effort to finding the meanings behind the ministry of Christ Jesus on earth. We want to find how I, aware of myself as the Son of the living God, can overcome death and all the things that lead to death, and then even go beyond, for he did say, "And greater things shall you do." And so you wonder, what could be greater than overcoming death? And you find when you have realized the possibility of overcoming death, you begin to see that that is only the beginning of life. And the greater things come after the overcoming of death. They're not greater things before you have overcome the illusion of death. They're greater things after death has ceased to have a meaning for you. And these greater things that ye shall do, again, are to be done if you believe on me. And so believing on me means that unless you know what me stands for, you cannot believe on me. You cannot ask in my name. And if you believe that me means Jesus, then you are among the millions who have been misled. For the very purpose of the ministry was to reveal the hidden identity of Jesus as the Christ, the living Son of God, the Son of the living God. But this too must have a deeper meaning for all of us. Now he gives us many clues. In Acts we are told that death could not hold him. He could not be held by death. What manner of man was this who could not be held by death? And he gives us his own clue when he says, "Call no man your father upon the earth." For your father is a person of flesh and of blood. And therefore, that is not your father. One is your father which is in heaven. And this father in heaven is not God personalized, not a supreme being. This Father, which is your Father, is Spirit. And then he goes on to say, that your Father is Spirit, and my Father is Spirit, and I and this Father are one. I am not born of Joseph. I am not born of Mary. I am born of Spirit. And Spirit, being my Father and your Father, you are born of Spirit. This is contrary to everything that you know as a person. And yet the way-shower, the Son of the living God, the Son of Spirit, is saying that I have overcome death because I am the Son of Spirit. And if you believe on me, if you believe that Spirit is your Father as I believe, then you too shall overcome death, and greater works shall ye do. Therefore, if you are born of Spirit, you are Spirit. For like begets like, and the Father Spirit begets the Son Spirit. And Jesus has overcome the grand illusion that man on earth in the flesh is the divine image and likeness of God. Genesis said that man was created in the divine image and likeness of the Father. And Jesus revealed that the Father is Spirit. And the divine image and likeness is Spirit. He discovered the identity of God and of man. And so he, being Spirit, was the Son of the living Spirit. Now, when you come to that understanding that until you are the Son of the living Spirit, you are mortal flesh who cannot overcome death, who cannot overcome those fallibilities that lead to death, and cannot do the greater works that come after the overcoming of death, then you are beginning to unveil the nature of God in yourself. Spirit is God, and the Son of God is the Spirit of God flowing through the universe as God itself, individualizing as your being. And although you have read it, although you have heard it, although you have said it, unless you have quietly, firmly rested in the Word to listen, to know, to feel, and finally to reach that momentous conclusion that you are Spirit and nothing else, you will continue to walk not in the footsteps of the way-shower, not in the truth, not in the light, not in the peace that passeth understanding, but in the ways of mortal mind, experiencing the good and the evil, the life and the death, the health and the bad health, the fluctuations of human existence until there is no human existence. Identity as Spirit is the beginning of the adventure in Spirit. And unless you come face to face with this, you will continue to seek the externals, thinking that what you are going to find is going to lead you somewhere to a place called heaven on earth. And you're going to find that every direction in which you move will lead only to a blind alley. I am spirit is the revelation of Moses when he said, I am that I am. I am that spirit. And Jesus, when he said, I and the Father, I and spirit are one. And his secret, the secret which enabled him to overcome death, was just that. The awareness that I am spirit, and then the fidelity to that knowledge. You cannot be faithful to your spiritual identity unless you have established it as your identity. Many of us who have reached certain high points of consciousness have discovered that in spite of this exalted attainment from time to time, we fall back into a human consciousness, and then we walk out into a world over which we have no dominion. And yet, this lack of dominion is only the absence of the realization that I am not mortal man. I am spirit. And when you make this turn, when you spend the time to make this turn, when you spend the time to contemplate the nature of being spirit, you will discover that the secret of the entire Bible is just those three words. There is no place in the Bible, there is no place in the New Testament, regardless of what you see or hear as the action or the deed or the word or the thought of Jesus, that is not saying to you, I am spirit. And these things that I do out here are done simply because I am spirit. For only spirit can do them. I of mine own self, Jesus, can do nothing. These things that are called miracles are done because spirit does them. The Son can only do what he sees the Father do. And the Father is doing the works. Spirit is doing the works. Do you see the living in grace that comes from the realization of self as spirit? Now let us recall to ourselves that spirit has no beginning and no end. That spirit is infinite. That spirit is not involved in the physical world. That spirit is not in time and in space. That spirit is infinite power, infinite presence, infinite mind, infinite self, infinite being, infinite harmony, infinite truth, infinite awe. Spirit is the only identity that exists. And until you touch the consciousness of spirit, you have not entered into the life, which is the life of God. And it cannot flow into your experience. We find then that the realization of self as spirit enabled Jesus to walk away from that self which can die, which can be diseased, which can be lacking, and then steadfastly refusing to be anything but spirit, he watched truth unfold itself. Now, as you walk behind him as spirit, knowing that only spirit exists, and you are faced with matter, what are you being faced by if only spirit exists? If spirit is infinite, if you are spirit, what is this confrontation of matter before you? What was his answer? I of mine own self can do nothing. The Father within, he doeth the works. Put up thy sword. Take no thought. Abide in the Spirit. Neither by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And so as you rest in spiritual identity, the awareness of spirit as the only life on this earth gradually descends into your consciousness. Wheresoever you may look, spirit is. To the left and to the right, above and below, you are in a spiritual universe. The infinity of spirit precludes the presence of any other substance or life. You do not go out and conquer the spiritual universe. You touch your own identity as spirit and rest in the effortless action of spirit to maintain itself. There is no work in spirit. There is no effort in spirit. There is no thought in spirit. There is no overcoming. There is a resting with confidence. Can you rest with confidence before you know that you are spirit? And so, not having this realization that I am spirit, we live in the divided consciousness which must always turn to meet a new intruder, always face another problem, always seek to find a place where it can be at peace. But never finding it, because out of true identity, we are always moving toward the light, living in the shadows. Find your identity. Jesus was not Jesus, but the Son of the living God. Jesus was born of the Father, Spirit. And there is a place in our Bible where he says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that line is one of the greatest of all. Call no man your father, for spirit is your father. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And we, born of the Spirit, born of the Father, are Spirit. Rest in yourself for a moment. See what it feels like to be not flesh and blood, not mortal, not human, but that which He revealed we are. Spiritual being. Not spirit and, just spiritual being. The Son of the Living God. I am that Spirit. When this falls into place in your consciousness, you will feel a turning. A turning toward a new invisible universe, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And you will realize the Christ mission on earth is to lift you out of the belief in a limited, finite, temporary existence of good and evil into the acceptance of the presence of a perfect, unlimited, life in and as Spirit under the law of God, the law of Spirit. And that all this is a transformation in which your consciousness now drops its belief in the finite physical self, follows the way shower, believes on me, asks in my name, Spirit, and then opens you up to the acceptance that because you are Spirit, because Spirit is your Father, I and the Father are never separate. Never apart. There is no place in the universe where Spirit is that is not connected to my Spirit. I am not separate from the Infinite Spirit. Wherever Spirit is, my Spirit is. This realization of first my spiritual identity and then the infinite nature of Spirit, which prevents a separateness from Spirit, opens us up to inner revelation, to the living Word of the Living Father, to the will of God in us. Until this has been accomplished, we are the prodigal. We are the mortal. Destined to live not in truth, not in reality, not in peace, not in love, but in the shadow of a false identity. Thousands and thousands of years have gone by in this false identity, with man completely unaware that the only being on this earth is the Spirit of God. That each of us is that Spirit. And when our consciousness is open to accept this, the law and protection of that Spirit in us, which is called the Kingdom of God within, through grace, automatically goes before us in all things and becomes the invisible substance of our life, manifest in the visible, physical, tangible flesh. Whenever a need comes into our experience, this invisible spiritual identity, which you have realized, which is never apart from the infinite, comes forth from the invisible to form the fulfillment of that visible need. It is not done through your thought, through your effort, or through your wish or will. It is the will of the Father for eternal perfection made manifest in your experience. Because you are living in my name, because you believe on me, because you believe that I, the Spirit of God, which walked this earth, which appeared to men as a form called Jesus, I, that Spirit, the Son of the living God, if you believe on me, you will know that I am the Spirit of your being. And as you saw me there in the outer, you will see me in the inner. When you recognize me in yourself, as yourself, you will believe on me. You will know God aright. You will know Spirit aright. You will know life eternal. To know yourself as the Spirit of God is to overcome death, disease, lack, limitation, or whatever mortal flesh is heir to. Because this is not realized on this earth, man is still seeking God. Man is still seeking divine protection. Man is still seeking answers to questions that have been mysteries for thousands of years. And the greatest mystery is why man has not found that which was given to him by the living Spirit of God that walked the earth in the form called Jesus. And walks the earth in the form called you. When you realize that I am Spirit, was the constant awareness of he who was called the Christ Jesus, and that it was the miracle worker, you can look at your Bible in a different way. You can see that the Bible is the outer representation in words of the activity of I am Spirit on the earth. I am Spirit reveals itself through the conscious awareness that I am Spirit of Jesus, where there is no duality but the One. The One reveals itself in all situations, in all conditions, in all catastrophes, in spite of the impossibility of that which appears before human eyes. There is no tempest because Spirit being omnipresent infinity, I am Spirit. And the witness called Jesus says, I am Spirit, I am the Father of One, and I am Spirit releases the illusion of tempest. There is no hungry multitude because I am Spirit and I am infinite and I am everywhere and I am fulfillment. And here is one who has died to self, so that Jesus is dead, and all that stands there is the consciousness which says, I am Spirit. And I am Spirit reveals itself as loaves and fishes. I am spirit reveals itself as eyes that see and ears that hear. I am spirit reveals itself as God in action on the earth at hand in the invisible kingdom, not visible to human eyes, but present where we stand. I am spirit. I am the substance of your being. And wherever there is a second consciousness that says I am mortal, then I am spirit cannot enter in to liberate, to reveal, to protect, to fulfill, to glorify. But where there is the consciousness which says I am spirit too, I and the spirit are one, then the I am spirit reveals itself as the substance and law and activity of that individual, and does the same works in and through that individual as it did wherever I am spirit was recognized by any enlightened one. And I am spirit being life itself, it is deathless and timeless. And I, in the realization that I am spirit, am deathless and timeless. And then I am spirit does the greater works. And so your Christmas package is the unveiling of God as the spirit of your very being. And because there cannot be two where the infinite one is, there must come an extended quiet time in which you let this new awareness simmer within you, until there is no human self that is moving out to the job the next day. There is no human self that is planning how to survive these next 20 years or how to build a nest egg or how to be successful or secure. There is none of that. This is the death of the human planner, the human knower, the human who desires. It is the birth of the Christ. I am spirit, and I am no other. I am the one who is the living child of the living God. And my Father, he knoweth my needs. Spirit lives itself. If I am spirit, my life becomes an effortless activity of spirit being itself. And so as I move forth, planning, thinking, desiring, I am denying my own spiritual selfhood. As I accept a problem, I am denying the perfection of spirit. As I resist a problem, as I seek to overcome a problem, I am accepting the presence of a problem which is a darkness, an iniquity, and I am being false to myself. I am spirit, and in that awareness I can face the problem with the knowledge that it has no real existence. If I am spirit, and spirit is the Father, God, where is the problem? In spirit? What kind of a problem can exist in God? In spirit. And therefore, the problem is saying something to me. It is saying that I am still in divided consciousness. I am in the consciousness that says, I am spirit, but I have a problem. And so I must tighten my understanding there. I am spirit, and therefore the problem can only be a misperception of reality. I am spirit. This is no longer conjecture. This is impossibility or probability. This is simple fact. I am spirit. This is why he introduced the New Testament, to teach us that our name is spirit, and this is the fact by which we measure everything else. Because I am spirit, I am truth, for spirit is truth. Because I am spirit, I am harmony, because spirit is harmony. I am love, I am peace, I am supply, I am life. And therefore, every problem is a denial that I am spirit. And as this consciousness deepens, the presence of a problem which I recognize as a denial that I am spirit is met by the realization that nothing can change the fact that I am spirit. Even if I don't know it, I am spirit. That which I am, I ever will be. Spirit eternal. And now. And therefore, because there is no darkness in spirit, that which appears to me as the problem has no life. Spirit is life, and there is no other. Spirit is existence, and there is no other. Spirit is reality, and there is no other. Spirit is perfection. And every imperfection accepted by me is a denial of my spiritual self. That denial of my spiritual self is the way I die. That is the slow death that every mortal goes through by denying spiritual self at every moment. But I, spirit, am the resurrection. In the realization of spirit as identity, we are resurrected from the false beliefs which we had accepted, making us feel that we were humans under human law, matter under material law, physical beings under physical law. We are not. So long have we thought of ourselves this way that we have become totally conditioned, living in the belief of a physical world, in spite of the fact that the way-shower completely obliterated the power of the world by his knowledge that he was the living spirit. I am the light, the living spirit, and you are the light, the living spirit. I go to my Father, Spirit, and your Father, Spirit. Follow me in the realization that we are spirit, and you too shall overcome this world. Now, when you start to practice this, that's another matter. You'll say, how can I practice it? I said that to myself too. How shall I be spirit? What do you do? How do you do it? What's the pattern of living for one who says, I am spirit? Where does he go? What does he say? How does he move? And you find a million questions you can't answer until one comes within you with an answer and says, before you have asked, I answered. Did you think I would set you forth as my spirit without an answer on how to be what you are? First, you had to come to the realization that you are spirit. And now in the newness of that realization, wait upon the Lord. Rest. And suddenly the whole Bible is your answer. For the Bible is what you do when you are spirit. The one called Jesus who knew I was spirit then went out and did what the Bible is. His way of doing will become our way of doing. We will face the world, but we will know that it is not there as a world. Its evils are not there. Its physical problems are not there. It is a spiritual universe, peopled by spirit. Perfection in all things. And our consciousness will become single-pointed. So that I will wait upon the infinite spirit to function through my spirit. I will not do the works the Father will. I will wait upon the Lord. Because the Father is greater than the Son. I cannot multiply loaves and fishes, but the Father can. I cannot raise cripples, but the Father can. I cannot resurrect the dead, but the Father can. And the Father can through my enlightened consciousness as I rest in the true identity, in my name. That's your starting point. And then you begin communing with your spirit. You ask it questions. You wait for answers. And it teaches you. It feeds you. It sustains you. It leads you and guides you. It shows you how to live as a spiritual being. And all this that you are doing as spiritual being is invisible to the eyes of man. It is done within your consciousness when you are at rest, when you are not fighting the windmills, when you are accepting that because 2 and 2 are 4, it makes no difference if someone tells you they're 5. Or 6 or 10. That which is the truth remains the truth. And because you are spirit, it makes no difference if the world throws a brick at you. Because a brick cannot touch spirit. If you think it can touch you, then you still have to go within until you know that you are spirit. Until you see that spirit is another dimension of being. And there isn't a physical self out here still to be hurt if you are the spirit. The birth of that realization must lead to the death of the false belief of a physical self. Do you see you cannot support a physical being and a spiritual one? You cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot live in 2 houses. You cannot ride 2 horses. You cannot be spirit and matter. You must cross over. And then let the false consciousness die. Consciously let it die. It is our fidelity to I am spirit that is what is meant by salvation. Now look again at the adulteress. She came before I am spirit, not before Jesus. And I am spirit looked at her and made a few marks in the sand to show these are just images in thought, this woman here. Just a picture in the mind. Her name is I Am Spirit, but she knows it not. And so I do not condemn thee. I, Spirit, do not condemn Spirit. Go out and sin no more. No longer think that you are flesh and blood. Know that you are Spirit. That was our only sin. Not knowing I am Spirit. And that's the sin of the world. It's the sin of each individual. It's a sin of every one of us, not knowing that I am Spirit. We have reduced the complete Bible down to these three words. Its purpose is to teach you, I am Spirit. Only that Spirit realized in you can look out and see the spiritual universe and live in it. As a material being, you cannot live in the heaven on earth. As a material being, you cannot overcome this world. But the Spirit of God in you, realized as your substance, will look out upon your neighbors and see itself in all. It will look through the evils, through the lacks, through the limitations, and perceive itself, the infinite reality of being everywhere. And this becomes your mystical eye, your soul activity, your higher dimension of consciousness. The Spirit realized as you looks out and sees your spiritual universe. Where the world sees war, you see peace. Where the world sees lack, you see abundance. Where the world sees ill health, you see perfect health. Why? Because Spirit is all you can know when you are Spirit. I don't know how many thousand years it's taken to get to a point where we begin to turn, but this is that point. And this turning occurs before the physical death comes. There are a few who are practicing this knowledge, not many, the knowledge that I am Spirit and nothing more. You can count them possibly on your 10 fingers who are really practicing this awareness. It is the narrowest possible way, and it is the only way that Jesus taught. So today, those who are new with us and those who are not new are all faced with one simple truth. Either you realize I am Spirit, or you are rejecting the complete teaching of that which is called Jesus the Christ. And if any of you can find something else that he taught other than I am Spirit, I will be very much surprised. Now, when this realization is yours, it is a rebirth. It is just like being born again. You're no longer hands and legs and arms and a physical body. You're something that cannot be touched physically. You're something that cannot be seen with human eyes. You are a new state of consciousness. And this state of consciousness does not have boundaries like a figure, like a form. It may only appear there as a Jesus, but it isn't there. You have transfigured You have found your self as spiritual substance without corporeality. You're not in any one place or in any one time, and yet you're present. And yet all that is present is your presence. You graduate from being a person and you become aware that spirit is a universe. I am a universe, not a person. I am spirit. And spirit is not limited or confined. Spirit is itself, and itself is infinite. It is not only the supreme, it is all that is. And that is why God is not a supreme being, but the only. Spirit and the Father are revealed as one. Each of us then becomes aware that we are that one, joint heirs in that one. And now you're a consciousness and not a form walking the earth that can be run over by an automobile or invaded by a virus. You're the invisible consciousness of the universe, one with the universe by virtue of being one with the Spirit of God that is your being. And this is where omnipotence comes in. The power of the infinite Spirit moves through each of us who become joint heirs in Christ, doing its perfect work at all times, maintaining its perfect being, which we are. Intellectually, we can all understand this. Intellectually, we can know that even if we don't understand the fullness of it, we can work at it to understand it. But Jesus did more than understand it intellectually. He became it. He dropped the belief in his own personal powers, his own personal mind, his own personal intelligence. And this is not done through quotations. So that even the Bible itself is but a way of lifting you higher into the real Bible. The real Bible is not a book bound with leather, with paragraphs and chapters. The real Bible is the Christ. The living Christ of being is the living Bible. And until you become the living Bible, this Bible has not done the job in you that is required. I am the Son of the living God. And when you become the living Bible, the living Spirit moving through you and all those in your spiritual household is the law of harmony in all things. It should be clear that there is nothing in this that is beyond our capacities, because we have no capacities other than the capacity of spirit itself. And if you will remain vigilant, crossing out everything in your human consciousness that denies the fullness of your spiritual being, you will discover that you have turned home. You have made a stride far greater than most of the religions on the face of the earth. You are coming into the realization that one means I must be that one, or else there would be two. And whatever I do that is not the quality and the nature of that one must be a falseness that I must crucify. I learn to live as the one, in the one, activated solely by the one. looking at all forms of discord with the knowledge that they are not of the One and are therefore illusory, powerless, non-existent, requiring nothing on my part to remove them or improve them. That is fidelity to your spiritual identity, and it is the Messiah. Take these three words with you. I am spirit. And besides spirit, there is no other. And as you dwell with them, you will feel the birth of the real self. You will understand that this is the message of the Bible. All of the passages I gave you before in that little list will wield a pattern of truth showing that Jesus traveled through the route of spiritual realization, releasing human selfhood, letting spirit reveal itself as the omnipresent being on earth. Wherever forms appeared, spirit actually was. And then said, if you can, let this realization become yours. This power of spirit, which I have revealed on earth, will work through you. Either you believe on him or you do not. And to believe on him is not to personalize the Jesus, but to personalize nothing in the realization that the voice that spoke through Jesus was the Christ. The Christ which said, I am in the midst of you. Come unto me, and I shall give thee rest. When I asked myself within, how shall I live as spirit? How shall I live in that which is instead of that which is not? I received an unusual answer. I was told the 12 stones, the 12 foundation stones. So I immediately went to Revelation where they are, and this will be the subject after our brief intermission.